This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to How To Tuesday. I've got my friend Captain Brandon Simmons. He runs the End of the Blue Boat out of Hawks Cay Resort. You can go down there and fish with Brandon, and a lot of people do, and a lot of people have had a lot of very nice things to say about him. We had him on the show before talking about sailfish. Now we're going to talk about mahi. And one of the things that people have asked a lot out of the podcast is, look, man, I know that you're close to this, and sometimes the information that we're giving is just a little too much for some people. They want the 101 version. Like, if you're an inshore fisherman, you've never been offshore before, or you are an inexperienced offshore fisherman for whatever reason, maybe you're a good fisherman, maybe you're a good flats fisherman, but you just haven't been offshore. You've got access to a big boat. The weather's nice. You want to go out there and catch some dolphin. Brandon, can you hook us up with a little dolphin fishing 101, what you would tell people, you know, that may have some inshore tackle, may have, you know, limited tackle, whatever. How's the easiest way to go out there and catch a dolphin?
Yeah, of course, I can hook you up. Dolphin fishing 101. So dolphin fishing, for the avid angler, or any angler, the new angler, whatever you want to call yourself, you know, basically just rig your rods up, get you some nice little lures, get you some hooks. You want a basically a big J hook, big 7-0. I like to use 77, 66s. They're Mustad hooks. We rig ballyhoos with those. Don't even have to rig your ballyhoos. You can hook your ballyhoos right through the nose. You've got your nice 6-foot leader, 5-foot leader on there. What you're looking for when you go out there, you want to get off a little bit, you know, in that 400 to 1,000 area, right in there. Sometimes you don't have to make it that far. You're looking for birds, you're looking for weeds, you're looking for debris. Once you find any of those things, you can troll around it. You know, if you've got your favorite lure or anything, dolphin will almost eat anything. As long as they're hungry and they're eating, they're going to eat. Occasionally, you'll find schools that won't eat. Typically, that's around the full moon because they're eating all night long and their bellies are stuffed. But pretty much dolphins are moving all the time. They're a pelagic species. They eat, 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 and eat, and eat. And don't stop eating until basically somebody catches them, brings them home to the dinner table. So, you know, once you get out there, say you find big old weed patch, you know, drive around, check it out. A lot of times you're going to see the fish, you know, pitch your ballyhoo out there, reel it in a little bit, you know, kind of entice them like you were if you're an inshore fisherman, you know, you're fishing the mangroves, you're winding it back, jigging it a little bit. You do the same thing, you know, get those fish a little enticed. Once he eats it, you let him eat it, open your bail, and you've got them on. So from there, once you've got a fish on, this is the important part that a lot of people screw up and the whole school will leave them. You want to keep one fish in the water at all times. Those fish are schooling fish. They're going to stay around that one fish all times. They're not going to leave their friends. They're not going to take off. So you leave that fish in the water, throw the rod on a rod holder and kind of forget about them for a little bit. At that point, you should see a few more fish swimming around the boat and, you know, get your squid chunks, whatever bait you got, pitch it out there, try to hook a few more. From there, you'll take that first fish out of the water that you hooked, keeping the freshest fish in the water at all times. Basically, your happy fish is what I like to call them. Keep your happy fish in the water to keep the whole school happy. If you leave a fish in the water for too long and he kind of gets lazy or starts to die off, school will leave because they're going to feel that same feeling basically that that mahi's feeling. They're going to all get upset and they're going to kind of shut down. You'll shut down the whole school is what will happen, which I see and hear a lot of people. Well, you know, we hooked this one fish, but it just, it seems like the rest of them didn't want to eat after that. Well, you got to just kind of feel for the school. You know, they're all hanging out with each other. They're all friends. You want to keep them happy. And that's pretty much it. You know, you find debris like that, piece of debris, you'll find triple tails, there'll be bait on it. It's really, dolphin fishing 101, it really isn't that hard. Go out with a few rods, you get your bait, and once you find them, you should be able to get in them pretty good.
Yeah, so the way that you're finding them is looking for three things: the birds, the structure, or and when you say debris, like it could be a floating barrel, or it could be
right.
It could be wood, or it could be a tree, right. Or it could be anything like that. An old boat could be out there, and
yeah.
You could find a ton of stuff. Anything. Anything like old, a big, some of the best things I've ever seen out there have been like, rope, like tangled rope, or it's some sort of a net or something. It's rope of some sort. And man, they seem to love that stuff and it needs to be
basically,
there.
Basically it's a habitat is really all it is.
Right.
It's a trash in our eyes, but it's a house for the fish.
Right. And they hang out there. The birds are following the bait and they are going to show you where those fish are. And those fish are swimming much faster than most people think on your first outing offshore. You see the birds and the captain saying, those birds are on the fish and that bird is moving like 25 miles an hour. Like, what? Yeah. How is that happening? Well, maybe they're going with the current. Maybe they're going, you know, the fish can move really fast. And so you do need to kind of be ready. One thing that that you just said real quick was that, you know, if you get the school up, you catch one either by trolling or you see the fish or however you do it, under the birds or on the weed lines or on debris, and you get one fish in the water. You said, you know, you can throw some of your squid out there or whatever. Do you make it a point to have some kind of bait kind of cut into smaller pieces so that you can start feeding the school if you find them? Because if you do find them and you don't have that and you feel like it's important, that's kind of a tough time to be cutting a whole bunch of stuff.
Like, yeah, no, you definitely want to take a little preparation before you head out. You know, like you said, cut up some of your bait, you know, even a whole pack of ballyhoos, just cut them up into some chunks. And a lot of times that is very important because that's what they want. So when you hook that fish, you take a handful of those chunks and throw them out there and you'll see either the fish will swim right by them or most of the time they'll start eating them. And as soon as they start eating them, if you can keep them, you know, getting some free food and every once in a while throw your hook in the mix, you should keep them happy the whole time and you should basically catch as many as you want that's in that school.
Right. Now let's talk about, you know, one of the things that I've seen a lot of the recreational fishermen do is they're fishing with pretty heavy tackle and they're fishing with a whole ballyhoo a lot of the times, where some of these fish are, you know, just barely legal or even very legal. They'll eat much smaller things. Like, so do you throw little jigs out there? Do you have smaller things ready to go, smaller than a whole rig ballyhoo?
Yeah, so I use a lot of, I wish I had one around here, but those little rubber squids, you know, you get them in almost any color. I use a lot of those and almost any color will work. You put a little lead in the head and you just put that same 7-0 hook right behind it. You throw it up the line, 7-0, and you can pitch it out there and wind it in real fast. If you catch a bonita or any other kind of fish, you know, just cut you some little strips out and put that on the back of the hook. That way they've got something to taste. You know, a lot of it is taste. Say you miss the fish and he hits that plastic lure, he's not going to come back for a second strike. He just hit a piece of plastic. It didn't taste good. He didn't like how it presented itself. Basically, he just liked the action of it. Well, if you've got a little, you know, tip on it of some kind of bonita or any kind of strip, he's going to taste that. And if he misses it, he's coming back again because he just got a big old mouthful of nice, sweet meat. So that's another thing you can do out there for the smaller fish, especially because, like you said, you know, the bat, sometimes those mahis aren't much bigger than those ballyhoos, you know, and you want to be able to catch them just in case the rest of the school aren't that small. You got a few bigger ones that swim up with them. So I like to call those my finder rigs, you know, my bring my school up rigs, whatever you want to call it. Get your one fish hooked, even if it's the smallest fish in the pack. Well, that might have been the hungry one that's going to get the other ones hungry for you.
Gotcha. All right. And then anything special as to the mahi is a very good fish on the table. Anything that anyone would need to know as far as going out there, getting them, having their cooler prepared, what the limit is, anything like that, that you can tell
us? Yeah. So your size limit's 20 inches from the tip of the nose to the fork of the tail, which is not the farthest end of the tail, but right where that tail kind of comes in right there. The fork of the tail is a 20 inch fish. I like, once you catch a few fish, I like to get them on a brine, which what a brine is you've got your ice and you get a little bit of bucket of salt water from the ocean and throw that in there. So it's a little sloshy and that'll cool the fish down the fastest, make your meat as good as it can be. You know, if you've only got them sitting on one side of the ice, a lot of times that upper side isn't going to cool down fast enough. And you'll notice when you're filleting it, the meat almost rip apart. If you can get those fish iced down and brined quickly, you're going to have beautiful fillets. It'll be as good as you can get it.
Awesome. And then when you are cleaning the fish, there seems to be two schools of thought to cleaning the mahi. You either rip the skin off or you cut the skin off. What do you prefer?
I don't prefer either way. I do have a lot of clients that don't want you to rip the skin off because it leaves that little film of whatever it may be. I can't really tell the difference when I'm cooking it as far as if it's ripped off or if it's filleted off. It can be a little hard to, you know, skin it with the knife. You just got to be careful because their skin's real easy to cut through. But in my, you know, what I prefer would be either way. It doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. All right. Well, that is Dolphin Fishing 101. And man, it's approaching a really good time for dolphin. What's the as far as this year goes and what you're seeing out there, Brandon, is this, are you having good fishing? Are the fish larger, smaller, plentiful, plentiful?
Yeah, we got a lot of small fish. It seems like it's a little better year this year. You know, approaching this full moon, it obviously kind of got a little worse. We're seeing a lot of small fish. Over the last week or two, you're having to basically measure almost every fish. Yesterday, we did catch about a 20-pound cow, and we missed a shot at a big, probably 40-pound bull. Unfortunately, those were the biggest fish I've seen this year. And I just haven't seen – I really haven't seen that stock of big fish, but I'm not worried because normally about now you'll start seeing those bigger fish later in the season, and it should get good. 2 weeks ago to a month ago, we had some of the best schoolie fishing I've seen in the last 5 years. I mean, if you were a commercial fisherman, you could have gone out there and just hammered them. It was as good as it gets. It was how it should be, which you'll hear from a lot of people, you know, how mahi fishing used to be. So it's a good year. You gotta, you know, get out there and go after them and go find your schools.
All right. Good advice from Brandon. Brandon, if somebody wanted to go fishing with you, they didn't want to do all this themselves, they wanted to just jump on your boat, how would they do that?
I would recommend hitting me up on Instagram, Captain Brando, and direct message me, or you can call my number direct, which is 321-626-8265. Or the 305 go fish.
What is it? 800 800 fish 305. I think that's the Hawks K number that you can also get, Brandon. 1-800 fish 305. Like in the old days, like in the old days when you used to look at the letters on the phone as you were dialing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not too many people are doing that, huh? No,
they don't do that anymore.
But I'm still doing that.
That's what it is. Fish 305, 1-800-FISH-305. Okay, Brandon, thanks, man. And I hope you get out there and you find some big dolphin in the next week or so. All right. That's How To Tuesday for today.
Thank you.
Thanks. See you.